How's it going? And welcome back to On the Wire, a proud member of the Pictureless Podcast Network. You can follow the pod on Twitter at On the Wire Pod. And if you're listening on a platform that allows ratings and reviews, please take a second to let us know what you think. I am Kevin Hastings. As you can probably tell, Adam remains on vacation this week with his family. Best wishes to him on his well-deserved time off. I am honored this evening to be joined by Bubba, better known as KC Bubba on Twitter, and host of Benched with Bubba and the Bat Flip, Always Pressing DFS, many other podcasts. Not everything is audio. He does amazing work with Fantasy Degens and Roto Baller, just to name a few. Bubba, I know I'm leaving things out. Thank you so much for joining me this evening as we embark on Major League Baseball's second half.
Well, Kevin, thanks for having me. It was a blast chatting with you a couple weeks ago on my show. So we already had this one planned, so I'm looking forward to it. And you mentioned we're already on to the second half of the baseball season, which is, it's crazy. It's been a long season just because of all the chaos and injuries and everything. But in reality, we're like 45% of the season left to go. And it's just so much more is going to happen. You said before the show started, didn't seem like it'd be a busy week, but even just Saturday alone, there's been all kinds of breaking news coming down between injuries and other issues. COVID's going crazy again, which is a shame. So it's gonna be a wild, like 2.5 months to go.
Yeah, it's going to be a much more active Fab weekend than I anticipated. Injuries continued, even when we're not playing. Guys coming back, we got call-ups, we got recalls, all kinds of stuff going on. And let's just hop right into our news and notes section here and talk about a little bit of it. We did, as you mentioned, we talked about Jaron Duran a couple of weeks ago when we spoke on Bench with Bubba, and that was so much fun, by the way. And thank you for having me on there.
It was a pleasure. But pleasure.
Tonight, he is finally in the lineup as he was originally on Thursday, the postponed game. We didn't get to have that. He was not in the lineup on Friday, but if this game goes off here as we're recording it right now, he will be available for NFBC players tomorrow evening in Fab. 270 with 15 home runs. That's a surprise to a lot of people. 32 RBI, 37 runs, 12 stolen bases in just 46 AAA games this season. What do you expect as we go forward? I think most of us expect the stolen bases will translate, but we've seen some of these guys struggle this season. What do you think?
That's my biggest concern. Let's cross our fingers at this game plays because it looks like it's starting out in a delay. So I give you the worst case scenario. Like you say, he's supposed to play Thursday, COVID postponement, gets Friday off, supposed to play Saturday, gets a rain out. And so now he can't even be eligible on NFBC, which would sum up the season in a nutshell. Like it really would. But what I expect, I agree, the stolen base should translate very well. I think the average will be there. I am hesitant, as you mentioned. We've seen these guys get called up like Klenik's backup now. But he struggled. Wander Franco hasn't been the guy we all hoped he'd be. These guys will be okay. I'm not worried about them in long term. But when you're sitting out there putting money on it, like we saw last week, Vidal Brujan came up and the Fab bids weren't that impressive. A lot of non-runner-up bids were even put out there. So that was quite surprising. But the thing with Duran is his play discipline is really impressive to me for a young player. He's shown it throughout the minors, 10-plus percent walk rate in single A, 11% in triple A this year. That stands out. That's something I really like to see from young players. They have the idea of the strike zone, which is, especially in triple A, which is bigger than it is in the bigs. So I like seeing that. The big question is, and it is slightly concerning, the fact he had Friday off. Are they going to platoon him right now until they make trades, or what are we doing there? And if they're platooning him, it's hard to get super excited in the Fab world when we're already play all low on Fab as it is. But to your initial question, because I like to blabber quite a bit, is I do think he's going to be very good. I just hope they just brought him up to play him full time and then just let him go. Don't like, because the scary thing is they're actually winning right now. So they don't have to play him type thing.
Yeah, I think, and it's interesting to me, he was slotted to hit seventh on Thursday. He's in the lineup in the sixth spot tonight. I think when we were anticipating this move a few weeks ago, it was the Boston lineup's been great, but they could use a leadoff hitter. Mm-hmm. So how long does it take for him, if he does perform, to move up in the lineup a little bit as well? The Red Sox, Bubba, also recalled Tanner Houck this week. And coming into the weekend, In 2020 and 2021 combined, he had five starts at the Major League Baseball level, 1.98 ERA, 33 strikeouts in 27 and a third innings. He came up, got an appearance already, and it was a three strikeout, one hit, one walk appearance. What do you expect his role will be going forward, especially after we saw him in that relief appearance last evening?
He looks like a long reliever because, like you said, he got that relief appearance, but it was a three-inning appearance because they were doing so well. He was a long man slash spot starter the first time he came around. Ideally, they want him to probably be a starter in the rotation. Chris Sale's coming back, so that's going to help tremendously. But even going into the season, the pitching for the Red Sox was the biggest question mark. Like, Erod's been great. Eovaldi's been great. Maybe Sale steps in there. Garrett Richards isn't good anymore. We know that's well established without the sticky stuff. I think ideally they'd love to see him in that rotation. If he can get stretched out to a comfortable 5 to 6 innings, that's where they want him. Now, how soon can he get there? That's the question. Because if he can be an effective 3 to 4 inning guy out of the bullpen, or they use him with an opener type situation, that's gravy too. I think they're going to use him in one of those roles, maybe like a fifth starter, long reliever type guy. Which in this era, and we're going to talk about it in Fab, especially as the season keeps going on, that's going to have viability. That's going to really be valuable because he'll be able to hopefully help you with the ratios. He'll be able to get you some strikeouts. Like you mentioned, he's been very good at that in the bigs and in the minors. So I think he will be fantasy viable. It's just I don't think his final role has been quite established with the Red Sox just yet.
And the nice thing for us as fantasy players is that this may keep his price down tomorrow night.
True.
Or tonight, as we are recording on Saturday evening, and most of you will hear this Sunday morning in Atlanta, Bubba. Atlanta acquired Jock Peterson from the Cubs for prospect Bryce Ball. Does that hurt anyone's playing time in Atlanta? Help in Chicago? Do you have any interest in Peterson himself in more shallow leagues where he may be available?
If you're in need of power, I have no problem trying it. Like, the power has been gone for a while. He went through a stretch there where he was hitting everything under the sun, and then like mid-June hit, and he hasn't had a home run since June 18th, which I would have lost a bet at a bar if you asked me that one. Like, that's well over a month for Jock jams, which is pretty crazy to think about. The power is still there, obviously. Atlanta's a good ballpark to hit in, so that's going to play well for him. Problem is he's going to be platoon most likely because Orlando Arcia out of nowhere has been playing great. He's been like playing him in DFS, you're like, wow, he still exists, and he plays in the outfield for him, which is amazing. They have Guillermo Heredia. They have Abraham Almonte. Obviously, they're trying to fill the role of Ronald Acuna, which you'll never fully fill, but you have to put that lineup spot out there. So I think Jock's going to be viable on certain weeks, maybe in streams and whatnot, but I also think he's going to get platooned for now, and that makes it very tricky. So if you're needing power, I'd give it a shot because the power will come. Right now, you can get him dirt cheap. Like, you're fine there because people will see he's not been good at all lately. You could probably also wait also, but I do think he's a streaky guy. He's going to have a run somewhere this season of 3 to 4 weeks that he probably just goes bananas, and that's going to be a great time to have him in fantasy.
Yeah, he is universally owned in TGFBI, but available in about 3/4 of Yahoo leagues. So there are spots out there he's available. Adam Eaton, after 58 games for the White Sox, hitting .226, and he only hitting .201 for the White Sox, hit .226 last season in 41 games. And even more concerning to me is the OBP hasn't even been there, below .300 both seasons. He's going to the Angels. This probably means no Joe Adell, no Brandon Marsh. In 15-team leagues, we need plate appearances. Is Eaton viable?
In 15 teams, yeah, just because you do waiver wires, I do waiver wires. It's obviously waiver our show. The outfield is very bleak in 15-team leages. If he's playing every day, yes, he went 2 for 4 in his debut with the Angels. They've been running out guys like Juan Lagares and stuff like that. They don't want to bring the young kids up. They're just fine with that. Eventually, Trout's coming back sooner than later, so that could be interesting. But they grabbed Eaton because I think people still hope there's a little something in there. You mentioned the OBP skills. He still likes to run a little bit. There's some sneaky power in there. I don't have high hopes for him, but in a deep league, he's going to probably play every day in that lineup. He's going to fit the mold somewhere because 2 for 4 last night, you're not going to get that every night, but I do think the OBP skills are still there somewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's disheartening to the strikeout rate finally coming down a little bit for Joe Adell, so a little disheartening to those of us stashing him. Up in Seattle, Cal Raleigh, this is really interesting to me because I hadn't really been paying much attention to what he had going on. He is one of their top prospects in Seattle, but was hitting 324 with 9 home runs, 36 RBI, 34 runs, even 3 stolen bases in 44 games at AAA this season. He was called up the final game before the All-Star break. We weren't really sure if this was going to stick. He played last night. He is in the lineup tonight, Saturday night as well. So what are you thinking with Cal Raleigh in Seattle? Torrens is the DH tonight.
That's the kicker right there. Because at first I'm sitting there going, because I got Torrens shares. Like, catcher has been a streamable position this year because it's been everybody. Like, a guy gets a run, he goes on a heater, and then he disappears, and we just play with it. And Torrens is one of those guys right now. He's mashing. The power is amazing from Torrens. So when they called Raleigh up, I'm like, huh. Well, he got a prospect pedigree like that. He's playing well in the minors. You hope they're not just bringing him up to be a backup catcher. That just seems like silly to do. And the Mariners don't like to start those clocks early, as we know. So when they brought him up, I'm like, well, they could put Torrens at DH. We've seen that before. I've tweeted out and made fun of like the Tigers and the Rangers for doing that the other day. And in one game, we had 4 catchers starting. That's very possible. And I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see Torrens playing nearly every day now, which is a boost to him because when he's not catching, he'll DH. And then Raleigh filling in there to catch maybe 3-4 games a week, and that makes him viable in deeper leagues because as much as you can stream catchers, there's still a bunch of bad catchers. So you want to stream the good ones when you can. But I think more importantly, this boosts Torrens up even more, and he's available on a lot of wires as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great point with Torrens there. This is new and developing. We knew a day or two ago that in Detroit, Mazar is gone, Willie Calhoun sent down. Now today, Goodrum is heading to the IL. What do you see opening up for opportunities in Detroit?
It just depends on how aggressive they want to be, because we've seen that farm system starting to get better and better. Like, you have to tip your cap to what they've been doing there between trades and the drafts in the last couple of years. So do they finally bring up some of these prospects that are actually hitting pretty good in the minors? Because they're going to keep selling. We know that much. So eventually they're going to have to bring these kids up. Like, how soon do they do it? Do we see, because Goodrum was out until about a week ago and he just came back. So now he's back on the IL, which is a shame because we were going to talk about him later this episode, yeah, exactly. But not going to anymore because he would have been a nice little addition out there. But it keeps Bedu in there. Grossman's been struggling. He's not going anywhere, but hopefully they trade him. It locks Haas into the outfield, which is quite entertaining. They called up Isaac Paredes, a prospect we've seen go back and forth the last couple of years. He does have some upside. And they have Victor Reyes, who at times last year, like in the draft season, people made fun of him. But people forget also, last season, he was hitting towards the top of that order quite a bit. And he was being quite productive out there. Like, his OBP skills were pretty good. He wasn't lighting the world on fire with power, obviously. He had 4 home runs, but he stole 8 bases. He hit .277. He was a very serviceable player. So maybe he finds his way in there. He becomes valuable, especially in 15-team leagues, as we were talking about. And then it just depends on what prospects they want to bring up. I think it potentially, like, people should keep an eye on it. If Victor Reyes starts sneaking into that lineup, that could be quite entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. And his name may come up later in the show as well. There's been a lot, as we mentioned, go on this week, more than we expected. As always, we try to keep our news and notes here on pertaining to what might affect our FAB considerations this week. And we might have left some stuff out. So to stay up to date with news and notes, you should be listening to the Daily First Pitch podcast, hosted by Nick Pollock during the week and Alex Fast on the weekends. 15 minutes, the most important things that happened the previous day. That's how I start my mornings. And when I have the time, I flip it onto Nick's Twitch live stream of putting his notes together and recording that podcast. Bubba, our focus topic this week, I wanted to, it's that time of year. It's time to really start paying attention to our categories, what I'm calling category maintenance this week. What are some realistic gaps that we can make up in categories? How do we balance improving in categories while still maintaining slim leads we might have in others? If you're in an overall contest, when do you start looking at overall category standings? When you have so many different leagues, how do you pay attention to what your opponents may be doing? Not just the one in contention. Sometimes the opponents that are not in contention are going to affect the league standings just as much or more. So that there's a lot here when it comes to category maintenance. It's really time to start getting into that if you haven't already in your leagues. What type of things do you look for?
No, it's a great point, and it's very important right now. We'll start with the hitting side of it, because this is one I think accomplished a lot better and potentially safer. Nothing's safe in baseball, but when we get to streaming pitchers, that's when it gets fun. But when it comes to hitting, I don't usually look at ratios too much, because like your batting averages, or if you're in OBP leagues, those are tough. Those are going to be tricky, and you have such a sample size now. To make a large jump there, your guys have to just run hot, and that's tricky. You can do it, but it's tricky. But you can look at your home runs, your RBIs, your stolen bases, your four other main categories in a roto format. And you can definitely make up ground. Like one thing that Toby Batflip Crazy, he's a genius when it comes to fantasy in general, but working the waiver wire and everything. And he's taught me some really good things. And one thing is, when you look at your standings and say you're like in fifth place in a category or something, and you're 40 home runs out of first place, that seems like a big gap. And it is. But at the same time, think about there's 2.5 months of the season. That's 10 weeks. If you can make up 3 home runs a week, you might not get to first, but you might go from like fifth to third or second, which that's 2 to 3 roto points. And it also knocks people back. So it could be like a net result of 5 roto points in the grand scheme of things. You got to look at it in that big of a picture. And you can do that for all your categories. So you don't have to, you're never going to take off that big chunk at one time. And that's why when we talk about some players coming up here in a little bit, it's like they're not the sexy names, but they're guys that can chip away at things for you. And I'm a big believer, like it's lazy, because we have such great stats these days, such deep stats, and I can use them, and I do use them, and sometimes I probably use them incorrectly. But I always make a joke that I'm like, I use like caveman analytics. Like I watch games, I think of the basic things, I remember like playing baseball, how things go, and I have like, I use a feel sometimes over stats when I should probably use stats. But when you can do that, you can pencil in like guys that are on streaks, and you can stream hitters that way. I think you can get more effective. Like I mentioned Jock Peterson earlier, you can do stuff like that and take chunks out that way. But you need to just remember, chip away. Don't expect to get to it all at once type thing. Look at guys that are playing well. Look at guys that aren't sexy but are actually helping you. Because the back of the baseball card is a thing I say a lot, and people think it's crazy. But if you believe in the player's talents, barring them just like getting old and falling off a cliff, the beauty of roto baseball is everyone slumps throughout a season all the time. There's not one hitter that'll, like maybe Ted Williams or Tony Gwynn. There's not many hitters will not slump, period. But at the end of the season, they'll be pretty close to the back of that baseball card. And if you can get those numbers, that's a beautiful thing. Luckily, nowadays, we have rest of season projections on Fangraphs. You have 4 different awesome sources. Use those. Like, that at least puts you in the ballpark. And most of those projection sites, they're all very, like, timid. And they're very cautious in their numbers. So a lot of those guys might overshoot those. Use stuff along those lines. I hope I didn't go in a massive circle there trying to explain it. But I guess if I had to have one, like, major thing is, look at your standings, look at your competitors if you want. I usually don't worry about the competitors that much, because if I can't get it done, then it doesn't matter in the long run to me. But I get looking at them also. But just think, chip away. Don't get it all at once, because you never will, and then you'll frustrate yourself and you'll spend too much money on something you probably shouldn't do.
Especially looking at runs and RBIs. You're 30 behind. That's only 2.5 a week. It's really interesting. There's so much to look at if you're really want to dive into it, I think. And especially if you're in an overall contest, right? It's time to start looking at that if you think you can make a run. But then you're looking at, you're talking hundreds of spots you can move up. I was looking at one yesterday, and one of my DCs it's still outside the top 100, but it's been performing really well over the past few weeks and moved up quite a bit. And 3 runs will get me hundreds of points. If I can make up 3 runs, it's really interesting to start looking at some of that type of stuff this time of year.
And ways to, if you're seeing stuff like that, it's okay. You might not have to go crazy and acquire certain players or target certain things, but something as simple as, hey, this guy has 7 games next week. Like, he's got those extra at-bats. That adds up. Or, hey, we talked about Adam Eaton. He's hitting 7th. Well, that's not as ideal. Let's look for Victor Reyes, who's going to probably lead off when he plays. And that leadoff guy, how many more times does he usually score than the 7th place hitter? Little things like that, you'll make up 3 runs in no time as the season goes on. I think that's a way to look at it, like you said, in the overall competition. And also, when you're looking at the stats, like, you can be realistic with yourself and go, okay, like catching up in stolen bases is going to be a large task compared to maybe getting runs in RBIs. So let's approach this a little better. Don't throw away stolen bases. Don't just give up on it, but maybe put some more focus on this direction if you're going on FAB or something. So you can do those things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Great points, Bubba. Thank you so much. Let's move on to our player recommendations for this week specifically, and maybe looking ahead a little bit for the next couple of weeks by category, not specific category, but in general. We'll start with some guys that may help us in the power departments, home runs and RBIs. Who are some guys you're interested in this week?
Yeah, I'm going to mention one gentleman that I have acquired in a few leagues over the last week, and I had a big Twitter debate a few weeks before that about Ben Gamel. And I've played fantasy baseball long enough. The name Ben Gamel's been out there for a while. And you're just like, one of the kryptonites of a lot of players is like, you have that thing in the back of your head going, nope, he's just a bad baseball player. Like, he just can't be good. So we had this big debate. And it's the beauty of sometimes of Twitter is you can have actually civil conversations and we can talk about things. And it sparked my interest when the conversation was done. I went to Fangraphs and Savant and looked at things on Ben Gamel, and he's getting it done right now. There's no denying it. And he's just look over the last, just the month of July in itself. Because you look at his overall numbers and it gets you in trouble. One thing I will say I do is I do 14 and 13 game running logs a lot because I believe in guys' slumps and non-slumps. So see where things are going. So if you look at the full sample, you're going to be in trouble. But just in the month of July with Ben Gamel, he's hitting 325. He's walking almost 15% of the time. A 350 ISO is insane. He's an OPS over 1,000, which is great. But more importantly to me, he's barreling the ball 17% of the time right now. And that stands out in a big way. So he's hitting cleanup for the Pirates again. Even bad teams have fantasy-relevant players. 4 home runs already in the month of July. And one of the things we had in our little conversation was he, like Brandon Crawford, a giant, Ben Gamel made a point this offseason to change his stance and approach to the plate to supply power. Now we're seeing it. So if you're in deeper leagues looking for power and he's not going to cost you a lot of money, I think Ben Gamel's worth a shot to at least run out there for a little while. And if he just, you know, falls flat in his face, you pick up another guy. But I think he's a guy that if he stays in that lineup by the end of the season, he could supply with another 10, 12 home runs, which could be quite tremendous.
Yeah. And something you mentioned earlier, his walk rate is right up there with what he's done over the past few seasons. It's over 10% overall on the season, not just July. And his strikeout rate quite a bit below what he's done the last couple of seasons. And he's doing all of this with a BABIP below his career average. He's at 295. His career is 336. So there could be even better things to come from him going forward.
Yeah, most definitely.
Who else you got?
Oh, this was one we joked about earlier because Kevin does great work behind the scenes. Now, I'm not going to tell all the secrets here, but he puts the ownerships down here because if I read the fine print better, I was supposed to, you know, do that kind of thing. But I didn't realize I put Jed Lowry down and I'm sitting there like already picturing listeners going, you said power, Bubba. Like, Jed Lowry? Like, what? I hate to break it to you guys, but the guy doesn't run like he used to. He's like a slow pitch softball player now. He's learned to hit for average and power. It's pretty entertaining to watch. And he's very streaky. He is the definition of a streaky player. He started out the season on fire. I rostered him early in the season. Then I dropped him because he completely hit a wall. We're back with Jed Lowry. If you look over the last couple of weeks, he's actually homered in 3 straight games. He walked it off on Friday night off of Class A. So let that one sink in for a second. That's pretty dominant there. But he's hit safely and since July 2nd and all at one game, multiple hit games in 7 of those games. He's hitting 425. He's got 4 home runs. I know he's homered in 3 straight games, but he's played 10 games. He has 4 home runs. This is Jed Lowry. Will this be sustainable? Absolutely not. But what Jed Lowry does do is he's another guy. If you look at his rest of season projections, he's going to run into some home runs for you, but he's going to hit for average. He's hitting 4th or 5th in that order. The rest of the season projections have him for 5 home runs. I would gamble right now he gets over 5 home runs the rest of the season. I will put that, whatever price tag you want to put on that, unless he gets hurt, he has to play, but he will hit over that. But he's going to hit for a decent average. He's going to supply runs that his offense needs. So I think Jed Lowry is one of those guys, again, he'll be free. He will be free in your leagues. And he provides that eligibility up the middle that can be quite sneaky this time of year.
Yeah, this is one of the guys that we were talking before the show that pretty heavily rostered, 93% TGFBI, but only 22% at Yahoo, as you said. And I went back a little further. Since June 24th, he's hitting 324 with 6 home runs and 14 RBI. That's only 16 games. Yeah. As you said, he's on one of those hot streaks. And he's the type of guy, a walk-off home run like last night just feeds that and extends that hot streak. So I'm really interested in him over the next week or two for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. Another guy I had down here, and it is Patrick Wisdom. He's a guy, when he started out on fire, I did not even put a bid in on him. I'm like, I'm not overpaying for Patrick Wisdom. Not at all. And he cooled down. Like, that was obvious. He's a young player. They are going to do that. They're going to come out. Baseball, the teams say, hey, kid, can you hit a fastball? Well, he hit a lot of fastballs, we saw. But then it's like they make their scouting report adjustments. He's adjusting back now. And it's a beautiful thing. He's hit safely in 5 of his last 6 games. He's homered in 2 of his last 3. And most importantly, I still think he's not a great batting average asset, but he's a phenomenal power asset. We've seen that throughout his minor league career. So the dude has got ridiculous power. That's not a question. Like, even like the Bat X rest of season projections has him for 14 more home runs. Hitting 215, which I think he'll be better than that, but 14 home runs is pretty outstanding if you're looking to make up power. But more importantly, with that Jock Jams trade, there's going to be other trades with the Cubs. Pretty soon, and we've even already, but pretty soon there's going to be no excuse. Wisdom's going to play every day. That was one of my concerns early on, is once he slumps, will he play every day? And he didn't. He started getting rotated out. He's going to start playing every single day going forward. And that's going to be tremendous, because you get those days in Wrigley and these other matchups. Wisdom's going to be a great power source the rest of the year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the 14 home runs rest of the season, that's over 40 home run guy.
Yep.
And the playing time, absolutely. Jock Peterson trade already helps. Chris Bryant's in right field. And we all expect more Cubs to be on the move. So, as you say, he's going to be in there every day. The one guy I would like to add, it's another guy that is nearly universally rostered in 15 team leagues. Looks like there is one TGFBI league where Paul DeJong is available, but he's only 25% rostered on Yahoo. When he first came back, was not good. 3 for 32 upon his return, including one home run in those 3 hits. But since, he's 16 for 53. He's hit 4 home runs with 9 RBIs, 7 runs, and even a stolen base thrown in there. That's a 302 average. He's another one of those streaky guys that right now he's on one of those streaks, and the weather's hot and humid in St. Louis. Ball travels better there now than it does earlier in the season.
Yeah, no, I like DeJong. I was a big DeJong fan. I had to send him back in a couple NFBC leagues just because of roster construction and needs elsewhere. But I agree, if you're in need of power, especially at the middle infield position, he's definitely a target for you, because his average is never going to knock you off the page. But he's got legit, on this full season, 25 to 30 home run power. So now he's probably getting comfortable. He had that slow start. Well, he's been injured most of the year. So I think he's getting healthy. Weather's getting better. And as we see these central teams, as the Cubs start selling, as Pittsburgh does Pittsburgh things, Great American Small Park's always fun. It could be a nice little summer for DeJong. I don't mind that one at all.
Very nice. Let's shift over to some speed guys. Maybe not necessarily just stolen bases, but some runs scored as well. Who do you got going forward that could help us in those categories?
Elvis Andrus. This is a guy that, going into the season and rankings and everything, I was bullish, and I kept putting him in my top 25 or 30 shortstops, whatever I had there. And everyone's giving me the feedback, he's done, he's washed. And I said, well, he's starting every day. Like, he's starting every day. So that was a point in the right direction. But did I expect him to be great? No. But what he has been is pretty darn good. Like, you look at a guy that he's stolen already eight bases this season. And a lot of that's come late, but most importantly with Elvis Andrus is his production, just hitting in general, has picked up a ton, which has moved him into the second spot in the order. Now, we'll see where that continues, because Mark Comet got activated on Saturday, and we know he was hitting towards the top of that order as well. But for a while, they were both up there. So we'll see where that goes. And it was Tony Kemp before that. Kemp struggled. Andrus has come in, and now Andrus is hitting great. So I think he's definitely one to keep an eye on. And if he stays at the top of the order, he'll be massive for run production, because that offense will still be good. And he's going to get just, I think he gets even more stolen bases at the top of that order there, because they're going to want to get him into scoring position for some of the big bats. So I think if you're looking for some cheap steals, he's out there on tons of waiver wires, only 7% owned in Yahoo, 71% in TGFBI. I think in a Yahoo league, at least in 15 team leagues, you should definitely be rostering him. 12 teams, if you're desperate for steals, I wouldn't be running to go get him, but he's playing great right now, and I think he's a guy that they'll throw some stolen bases as the season goes on.
Yeah, I agree. In many leagues coming into the season, I was drafting him as my starting shortstop, not just a middle infielder. Of course, that did not go well, and was I dropped him in many places, but have picked him back up where I could. And even when he struggled early in the year, they left him close to the top of the lineup. So I'm really hoping that continues even with Kanha back.
All right, my other guy here, and this is a funny one because for those that have been playing fantasy for at least a couple of years now, remember Fabapalooza where things went crazy, and you know Keston Hira and Austin Riley and all these guys came up at the same time. And one of the cheap guys was Oscar Mercado. No one really spent money on him, and he came out playing great, and then it fizzled off. But he still had 15 home runs and 15 stolen bases in 2019, hitting 270. Bit disappointing since then. Started this year in AAA. He has 5 homers and 9 stolen bases in AAA, but he's hitting 215. So average still not great. But now the Cleveland Indians called him up, and they needed him because the unfortunate Josh Naylor injury, who he was playing great this year. But just in general, their team needs extra help. He's hitting 250 so far since he's gotten called up, but more importantly, he's got 4 extra base hits, including a homer, and already 2 stolen bases. So if they are going to play him every day, which they pretty much have been of late, which is big. Now, he's at the bottom of the order. I guess it is what it is. But if they're going to play him every day, they're going to let him run and run as much as he possibly can. So this is a guy that literally, if he plays the next 2.5 months, I'd be willing to say 10 to 15 stolen bases seems pretty, at least 10 seems pretty easy from Oscar Mercado. And that he is one of the game-changing stolen base guys. The problem is will he get to play enough? You got your Durans where you're like, okay, once he plays, yes, we're good. But Mercado could be that quiet one when everyone's bidding on Duran. You can go sneak Mercado through for a couple bucks, and there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have anything to add other than I agree with all of that wholeheartedly. I'm a big Oscar Mercado guy, probably too big. I'm still under the – I still believe – the hand and wrist issues are why he was disappointing in 2020 and early this season.
Yeah. No, and that's what does it with these people. Forget about that. We just mentioned with DeJong, we mentioned it with other players. Just because they come off the IL, that doesn't mean they're healthy. These guys are getting rushed back, and just because they need their quote unquote bat in the lineup, even though it might not be 100%. So you have to remember that. And even if guys are 100%, you can talk to any baseball player, any of them. As the season wears on, none of them are 100%. So just remember that.
Right. Very good. Absolutely. One guy you mentioned earlier, Victor Reyes. So you talked about him. Another guy that's come up here on the show pretty often throughout the season, Nicky Lopez. I don't know if people realize because of how bad he started, how good he has been. It's not just trying to get a stolen base here and there. Over his last 136 at-bats, he's 45 for those 136. That's over a .300 batting average. No home runs, and he hurts you in RBI, so you need to be good in your power departments elsewhere. He does have 12 RBIs in that span, but 4 of them were last night. So he got a third of those 12 just last evening. But 22 runs scored and 6 stolen bases. So he's helping in 3 of the 5 categories. In OBP leagues, he's even better. He's got 16 walks in that time. The Royals only play 5 games this week. That is a concern. But then over the next 5, 7 games, 6, 6, 7, and 7. Even when Mondesi comes back, Lopez is just sliding over to second base. They love his defense. He's going to play every day.
I love that one. I almost think we talked about him on my show a few weeks ago because he's so low owned, but everyone, like I mentioned earlier, it's hard to get ratios. Well, if you want to attack ratios, it's a guy like this, and he's not sexy at all. Because everyone looks at the waiver wire, looks at fans, and goes, I want power. That's like where everyone goes, or I want steals. And you mentioned Lopez does get you some steals, which is great. But what he does so well, as you mentioned, is hit for average. And basically, the way I look at him is everyone loves Luis Arias. He is Luis Arias, but just no one talks about him. Luis Arias, he is better than Nicky Lopez, but you get what I'm saying. Like, this is what you're trying to get, and he's right there. So I'm 100% with you on Nicky Lopez. If you're in need of average with the splash of steals and runs, do it. Because that Royals offense, it's silly. They're actually more productive than people think. It's just because they just lose so many games because their pitching's garbage. But they can actually put up.
Yep, he's come up a lot throughout the season here in this category during the show. On to some guys that may just have some good matchups coming up, playing time, maybe some positional flexibility guys. I do have a note here. There are 3 teams that only play 5 games this week. I just mentioned Kansas City. Milwaukee and Colorado as well. So as Colorado has a homestand, it's only two games. They're off both Monday and Thursday. That kills us in an NFBC format, even worse than setting an entire weekly lineup for that first half. And it's made worse because 13 teams have seven games. So that makes that difference even bigger when there's so many teams that have several games. Is there somebody you like going forward?
And real quick, as we mentioned earlier, if you're just trying to rack up stats, those 7-game weeks are tremendous. Like, even they don't have to be great weeks, but just those extra 8 at-bats compared to those other guys could go a long ways. I was going to mention Nico Goodrum, but he's back on the IL. I love Nico Goodrum because he's got, like, eligibility in almost every type of position you want. Middle infield, corner infield, outfield. Like, he's everywhere. And he steals a little bit of power, leads off. Like, I love Nico Goodrum. Not going to happen. The guy I will mention, though, is Lourie Garcia. I wrote him up in last week's waiver outfielder column, and I like what he's doing right now. He's hitting consistently. He's hitting with a little bit of pop. He'll throw in some stolen bases. He hits sixth in that White Sox lineup, which is a very potent lineup. And he's got the flexibility. One thing that is huge for me is positional flexibility. The leagues that I'm doing very well in, almost half my guys, it feels, are eligible all over the diamond because it's helped survive and just get those at-bats when guys get hurt. So a guy like Lourie Garcia, again, not a sexy name at all, but he's out there playing most of the time for the White Sox and an offense that's going to go bananas. And that flexibility I like a ton. Decent average, little pop, little speed. This stuffs the stats a little bit each department for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Orlando Arcia earlier. I was really curious to see tonight's lineup. Jock Peterson is leading off for the Braves, but Arcia is still in the lineup. Yep. And what is really cool, not really cool, it'll be really cool next week, because he doesn't have outfield eligibility yet in the leagues like NFBC where it takes 10 games. But the following week, he should get there. He's only 34% rostered in TGFBI, 2% in Yahoo. And I know he's still just 26 years old. And as you said, he's come out of the gate hot, playing in the outfield for Atlanta, 9-for-28, a home run, 7 RBIs, got a stolen base, and they have a 7-game week this coming week, the Braves. And the following week, they have an 8-game week with a doubleheader on Monday versus the Mets. So 15 games over the next 2 weeks. I don't know how you can have much more opportunity than
that. I think it's a great call because you say he's 26. There's a guy in Milwaukee right now that people gave up on over the last few years who's 25, who's playing pretty darn good at shortstop now too, and Willy Adames. So some of these guys are young. Like, people need to calm down for a second. Change of scenery goes a long ways. And I think the talent level has always been there, as you were mentioning. And one other key thing, as you mentioned, with Jock still leading off there, looks like maybe, I know it's really early to speculate, but maybe that means he's taking Almonte's spot. So if you're an Almonte fan or you roster Almonte, keep that one on your agenda as well.
Yep, absolutely. Let's shift over to pitching a little bit, Bubba, unless you have any other hitters you'd like to throw in here really quick.
No, I think I'm good.
On the pitching side, our first category, wins and strikeouts. It can be a two-start guy. It can be some guys we think are going to vulture some wins as a follower. Maybe a nice solid single matchup. Anybody you're looking at to add to your pitching staff?
First, I'm very sketchy about streaming. That's one thing I talk about often. I'm not as willing to just go willy-nilly with streaming. But a couple guys I'm intrigued with. One is Touki Toussaint. Again, we want to mention pedigree. We want to mention young. Touki struggled tremendously in the bigs this year. He went back down to minor leagues. He's been pretty good. He's limiting the damage. He had one bad start down there. But what he's done his last two starts, he's gone at least 6 innings, which is tremendous. Because now most of these guys that get called up that are young aren't going deep in games. Well, he's got that capability. That's checked that one off the box right out the gate. So if you want the W, you got to go at least 5. That's a big one. He's only given up 2 runs in those two starts combined. And he struck out 7 and 11. He's always shown strikeout stuff in the minors. He's again, it's just 2 starts. I know it's people are going to say stuff, and I get it. But the talent level's there. We've seen it at times, even in the bigs in previous seasons when he's got his little appearances up there. I wouldn't break the bank for him. He does have 2 starts this week. Potentially, one is at home against San Diego. That's always terrifying. And one's at Philadelphia. So these might not be like the most ideal starts. So if you're timid in that regard, that's fine as well. But I think going down the road here, because Atlanta needs starting pitchers extremely badly, and if they are either going to trade for more starting pitchers or they are going to trade their starting pitchers pretty soon. They're on that little wiggle room right now. So we're going to see how that goes. But I think Touki will have a fantasy impact as the season goes on, especially if you need strikeouts and potentially wins with the Braves.
Yeah, you mentioned those strikeouts, 35% strikeout rate at AAA this season. And you also mentioned Young. He just turned 25 years old. So I don't think we've seen his best yet. You got a couple other guys here.
I got one more for sure. I'm going to go with Alec Mills. This is a guy I'm mad at because I drafted him a lot of places late in drafts this year. And then I dropped him when the Cubs decided he wasn't going to be a starting pitcher. He's back in the rotation now. He's been very formidable. Like, he doesn't go super deep into games. He's gone at least 5-3 of his last four. He's given up 3 runs or less, and all of 2 runs or less in 3 of his last 4. And he's got 5 or more Ks in 2 straight starts. So he's showing the strikeout upside, going deeper into games. I think he's a good just ratio guy. He's shown that throughout his time. He'll throw in some strikeouts as well. And most importantly, with a guy like Alec Mills, unlike Tuki Toussaint, Mills gets at St. Louis, a team that's offense is sputtering a ton, and then at home against Arizona, and I don't have to say a whole lot more there. So he has 2 of the more favorable possible streaming matchups this week, and I think he's actually just going to be stuck in that rotation the rest of the year with some nice upside. Let's not forget, he threw a no-no last year. So I'm not saying he's that pitcher, but he has the talent to be very good is what I'm trying to say. So I think Alec Mills is one I'd like to circle this week as a 2-start option.
Yeah, and he's available in 2/3 of TGFBI leagues and nearly every Yahoo league, just 3% rostered on Yahoo. So Alec Mills is available if you like those streaming options, which I do. I love those matchups. David Price is intriguing to me. He is 73% rostered in TGFBI now, only 32% in Yahoo. He's at Colorado tomorrow, but he gets Colorado at home next weekend. So for the upcoming week, I like that matchup. Hopefully he's stretched out a little bit to get us those 5 innings. No doubt in my mind that if he pitches 5 innings next weekend, we get a win out of David Price.
Yeah, he's one of those. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that rotation, with the injuries and the other incidents that have taken place in L.A., that I would love to see him get there. Another guy similar to Mills, I was hoping he'd just come into the year in the rotation. That obviously didn't happen, but you've mentioned it. As he's getting stretched out, he's looking better and better every time out there too, which is good because we know just how good Price can be, and he has elite strikeout stuff when he's on. So I think he's a great guy to go get now, because once it's like official he's the guy and he's stretched out, you ain't getting him. So this is the time to do it.
And you were talking about ratios a little bit as we're going along. Any long relievers or hot new guys that you think can help out? Like you said, with hitters, ratios are difficult. However, they're the only category where people can come back to us as well and help us out as we're trying to gain in ratios. Anybody that you can think of that's going to help us move on?
I think Eric Lauer is an interesting one, more so for ERA than WHIP because he has a walk issue, but I think he's very much in play there. He's been outstanding since he's been put into the rotation consistently. So he's a guy to keep an eye on, and he's available in a lot of leagues. But if you're looking for longer relievers, and I think this is where it gets fun, because it's something I've preached for a long time, is either go take the guy that might run into a random save here or there, or go get the guy that just racks up the strikeouts and the ratios. And one of those guys is Anthony Kay of the Toronto Blue Jays. He's the more of their long guy. We see him go 2-3 innings at times, but he even went 2/3 inning the other night, went inning and 2/3 the night before that. But all but one appearance so far this year, which is his last one, he's gotten you at least 2 strikeouts. It's been 2 earned runs or less in his last 7 appearances. So the ratios have been great. If you look, that's the problem with relievers' ratios. If you just look at one of them, he shadows it, because his first 3 appearances, 4 runs, 4 runs, 3 runs. Since then, he's allowed a total of 5 runs in 7 appearances. And those are like 3, 4, 5 innings appearances at times. Right. So I think Anthony Kay is a very intriguing one with massive strikeout upside. But the fun one, and not just because of his name, Funkhauser. Kyle Funkhauser of the Detroit Tigers. And this is a twofold one, because it's the Tigers. They're going to try to trade anybody with a pulse, like a Soto or a Cisnero, or maybe not all of them, but they're going to trade most guys that have any type of closing appeal to another team. So you have that going for you. And now you got Funkhauser, who goes usually in any of the 2 innings with great strikeout stuff. You made a note that he had a 3-strikeout inning today, but his previous 3 appearances, 2-2-2 in the strikeout department. He hasn't given up a run since June 17th. He had 4 runs in that outing. He's all season, he has basically 4 outings, 4 of his 33 2/3 innings pitched. So 4 outings, though, he's given up runs. Every other outing, 0 runs and 27 Ks and 33 2/3 innings, 2.41 ERA. This guy's got some electric stuff. He picks up the random wins because he comes into the games in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning. So he's got that going for him. I think Funkhauser is one of those guys that he totally is the definition of go. Like, you could put him in your lineup. He can end up throwing, like, making maybe 2 to 3 appearances that week, getting you 3 to 5 innings pitched, like 8 Ks, and maybe a win or two. And you know what that sounds like to me, Kevin? A streaming starting pitcher. So I'll take my chances. Yeah, or better. Exactly. Or better.
We've been talking about Brent Suter and Colin McHugh all season long.
McHugh's a great
These guys get 2 appearances, even 2 appearances in a week. Mm-hmm. If they get one win, just snag one win, or even one save, it's as good as having a really good starter in there in that spot.
Yep, totally agree.
And if you're not in a holds league, these guys are free. That's what makes it even better.
Yep, exactly.
How about for saves going forward, Bubba? This has just been it's so frustrating year in, year out. We talked about it a couple weeks ago on your show as well. This season seems to be even so much more frustrating. Now we have the trade deadline coming up that's going to get us speculating on a whole bunch of other guys. Anybody you're interested in adding this weekend for saves going forward?
It's surprising because we see like all these, like the Reds and the Phillies and even the Tigers and Royals and all these teams that just keep rotating through the relievers and everyone spends a ton of money on them in FAB. Then you go to a guy like Adam Ottavino, who's 61% in TGFBI, 28% in Yahoo. He has 7 saves on the season, which is a lot more than some closers, period, right now. And he has 43 Ks and 37 innings, but he even has 2 wins, 15 holds. So in holds leagues, he's definitely gone. There's no questioning that. 2.68 ERA. He basically gets you a save. It feels like every like 1 to 2 weeks, he's throwing at least 1 save out there for you because the Red Sox are doing well. Matt Barnes has been great. He's been outstanding. But if for some reason the Red Sox scuffle, they might trade a Barnes because they didn't even really, there was speculation he wouldn't be closing to start the season to begin with. So I think Ottavino is a phenomenal one. He limits the damage, tons of strikeout upside, and he's going to throw you in a save here or there. And to me, he's better than a lot of the dart throws people are throwing out there for some other closers.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to double down on somebody I brought up a couple of weeks ago, and that is the Royals situation in Scott Barlow. My reasoning is the only reason they would be allowing him to get saves right now is if they're trying to increase his trade value, because he is first-year arbitration eligible next season. They don't want him to have those saves in his arbitration hearing unless he's not going to be there. So I see him being their closer for the next couple of weeks. And he pitched yesterday, non-save situation, but they pitched their 5 best relievers in order for the final 5 innings of the game. And he did pitch that 9th. None of them had thrown in 5 days, at least in game situations. So it looks to me like he is the guy, as much as we've been trying to figure out who it was in Kansas City all season long.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I do have one other one here, and I'm shocked he's so low rostered, and I'm mad because he was like a backup bid on some other guys last week, and I actually got the other guys, surprisingly, and that's Paul Sewell of the Seattle Mariners, 37% owned in TGFBI, 22% in Yahoo, back-to-back saves. He got in on Friday night because Graven couldn't get out of it. A lot of it was defensive issues. Like, it was bad, but a lot of hard contact, too, and Sewell gave us some hard contact as well, but on the season, he's been outstanding. Ratios are great. Strikeouts, 44 Ks and 26 innings pitched. Got 5 wins to go with 3 saves. He's been nothing but awesome from that bullpen. So he fits that Ottavino mold. He's basically a Funkhauser with saves to me. I think Sewell's great. I think he's going to be popular this week. I think he, especially with the 2 saves, people are going to see that right out of the All-Star break. But he's another one that I think is worth trying. Graveman will still get the saves for now. They want to trade Graveman. But Sewell's going to get the ratios for you right now, the strikeouts, and he's going to walk right into that once that trade happens.
Yep, I agree 100% with that one. On the pitching side, any wild cards that you're looking to add or hitting as well? Just, we've gone through all the categories on each side. Anybody that's just interesting? Maybe it's a stash. Maybe somebody coming back from the IL. Maybe somebody you think that may be called up.
Yeah, only a few days after the All-Star break to kind of get a feel for some of these. And I'm not a big stashing minor league guys right now, especially the way they've been playing so far. The one I would mention, especially for multi-position eligibility and the possibility of leading off and being productive in an offense that's surprisingly good, Tommy La Stella's rehabbing. He's had a setback here or there, but he should be back hopefully within like a week or so. Brandon Crawford just got banged up. Longoria got placed on a 60-day IL. Lestell would probably slide into third base there. So he'd be a productive guy to at least keep an eye on, put on your watch list if he's there. But other than that, like I play in a ton of 15-team leagues, and those speculative guys, they're not the most fun to speculate on.
No. Unfortunately, we had news today. Pablo Lopez heading back to the IL for the Marlins. Craig Mish, he's the guy I listen to when it comes to the Marlins. He's speculating 6 weeks. So I'm wondering, this doesn't help in NFBC because he was injured during draft season, wasn't drafted many places. So we can't grab him in those leagues yet. But in leagues where I can, I'm probably starting to look at Edward Cabrera and hoping we see him soon.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great call. The hype train was loading up big time on him coming into the season, but you mentioned didn't quite get there. But that's one guy to definitely have circled.
Excellent, excellent. We typically, Bubba, we try to look 2 weeks ahead and see it's tough. And it's tough even when we're on our regular schedule to see who might have two starts in 2 weeks as far as streaming. You mentioned you don't do that much anyway, but they're so much less expensive in FAB if you can look 2 weeks ahead. Is there anybody you have in mind that may have a two-start week coming up? Most of these pitchers aren't even listed on sites for this coming Monday, which makes it extra difficult this week. But anybody you think may affect?
If somehow John Gray's out there still, he's got a two-start coming up. One's at the Angels, one's at San Diego, which is tough, but he'd be a guy, and he's been getting acquired in most places by now. So he'd be one to probably get if you could. But other than that, like you mentioned, so many of these guys aren't even set up to be rostered yet, or we don't even know who's pitching yet. So really, that's the only one that stands out to me. If Cole Irvin's sitting out there, he's a good one, but he's added in many leagues as well. Oh, lastly, I'll say one more, because he's not very attractive, but there's a good chance he gets home versus Houston and then at Texas. Chris Flexen, he's been outstanding. He's not flashy at all, but he's been very good, especially if you're in a quality start league or something. He's been very serviceable.
Yeah, absolutely. I was fortunate enough to grab him for this purpose earlier in the season when one of those starts was Colorado on the road, my favorite matchup, and he's been in my starting lineup ever since. He's been pitching really well. This guy's been getting some talk already. He's 22% rostered now in TGFBI. I expect that to go up this week. Maybe not a lot, though, because Jose Suarez gets Oakland at Oakland on Tuesday. That's not a great matchup. However, if he was also going to get Colorado at home in the same week, that would be a great matchup. Mm-hmm. And I would suffer through or sweat through that start at Oakland. That's what he gets the following week. He gets Oakland and the Colorado Rockies on the road, the way things look to line up.
Yeah, it's not a bad one at all. And it's one thing you mentioned there that's important. If you are going to stream, and I will stream from time to time, we've mentioned some guys, you're rarely going to get two great matchups. That's part of the headache already. So you just have to sit there and go, does that one solid road Rockies matchup, does it overshadow the potential doom that could come elsewhere? That's all it is. Because in the end, you might not be worried about your ratios. You want the potential wins and strikeouts. That's a totally fine argument at this time of the season. So definitely things to weigh out, and that makes a ton of sense. Anytime you can attack the Rockies on the road, good things usually happen.
Yeah, it's been my favorite matchup all season. And maybe I get another gift like Chris Flexen gave me when I picked him up for that purpose earlier in the season.
And all of a sudden you stick with them all year going, oh, wow, this is actually
great. Exactly. Doesn't usually work out that way, but when it does, it's extra nice. Bubba, any other words of advice pertaining to specific players or just in general category maintenance, anything we've talked about or anything you'd like to add for going forward for the rest of this fantasy baseball season?
I would say just keep grinding. You're not out of it. That's the biggest thing, is don't think you're out of it. Even if I'm just one of those, and I think you are, many longtime diehard players, is even if you're in 10th out of 12, have a goal to finish fifth. There's something to be it makes me feel better when I know at least I busted my rear end to get to that point going. I didn't just give up. That's what makes leagues bad, when people give up and everything. Work hard. Try to be as good as you can. Keeps the integrity of the league. It makes the winners have to try to continue to play, because you're not just throwing in the towel. So do that. If you're towards the top, keep grinding, man. It's going to be a long season. There's going to be a lot more headaches. mentioned earlier, like all of a sudden COVID starting to become an issue again. There's still rain everywhere, which is crazy. There's injuries everywhere. Like right before we started, Jacob DeGrom missing his start Monday now because he's getting treatment on a forearm injury right now. So keep an eye on that. It's just one thing after another. So just keep grinding. And if you think it's just bad for you, everyone's dealing with the injuries. So that's one thing I'll say is do that and let the people that do quit because of football season, let them quit and enjoy the benefits of that because that is already going to start happening very soon.
Yeah, excellent. I love that. I have a couple of leagues where things have not went well at all this season.
And it happens. Totally does, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And my goal for those leagues is I'm not going to finish in the bottom half. I'm going to grind this out and get to the top half before we're done. That's going to do it for this week of On the Wire. If there's a player you're thinking about bidding on and you want to discuss them, you can let us know by emailing us at onthewirepod@gmail.com, by shooting us a DM on Twitter at onthewirepod, or by joining PL Plus over at pitcherlist.com, where you get access to the Pitcherlist Discord and the advice and banter of over 900 members, including all the incredibly smart staff, just waiting to help you out. I'd like to once again thank Bubba for joining us this episode. Bubba, can you remind everybody where they can listen to you, read your work for the maybe one or two people listening that don't already know where to find
you? Again, thanks for having me, Kevin. It's been fun. Second time chatting with you. It's always enjoyable. So first off, I'm looking forward to doing that again sometime. But the Bench with Bubba podcast, if like there's one piece of content I put out that you listen to, I want it to be that one because that's my baby. Started that one. I'm getting closer to 400 episodes. So listen to that one. Otherwise, I do MLB DFS Quick Hits. I do Line Star DFS. I have Always Pressing for PGA DFS. I have written content at rotoballer.com. It's more DFS centric, but I do some season long there. And then I'll have season long content at Fantasy Sports Degens. Plus my rankings are usually over there for the season. So come check out all that stuff, but just follow me on Twitter at BDentric. I tweet out a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's entertaining. Sometimes it's just me trolling people because I'm sarcastic, but it's always in fun. That's the way I do things. So come follow me there and you'll get all my content tweeted out tons of times.
Yeah, Bubba, you're an awesome follow on Twitter. I love the live recordings of your episodes when I can catch them. You are one of the very few notifications that I have turned on so that if I'm...
I'm sorry.
No, I love it because there's something about... if I miss it, I listen to your shows as the podcast later. Mm-hmm. But there's something really cool, especially with you and Toby, about just catching you guys live when you're recording.
Yeah, if you jump in with questions, we answer them. Kevin's done it before. Like, we'll stop. Absolutely. We do it right on the fly, basically.
Yeah, it's awesome. Myself, I'm on Twitter at HastingKevin. I do a Fab Preview article, comes out every Sunday at pitcherlist.com. A lot of what we talked about here today, sometimes some things will happen tonight. There'll be additions, subtractions. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we are a proud member of the Pitcherlist Podcast Network, along with 20 other incredible podcasts. Make sure to follow at Pitcherless Pod so you can get updates on all the new episodes from each of them. We wish you all the best of luck in your leagues and hope you win all of your bids by exactly $1. Thanks once again to Bubba for joining me. And as Adam would say when he gets back from vacation, with that, we bid you goodbye.